we'll just do it like we would up at upstairs in the courtroom, since this is a work session. So, well, Sandy, I'll start with you. Sandy, you're here, I heard, correct?
Yes, I am, Jason. And then I'm going to put it back onto mute.
Yes. Yep.
Please. Okay.
Okay. And then working right down the line, Kelly, I see that you're on. You put your name in. Thank you for that.
Yep.
All right. And then Jen, are you on?
Jen actually picked up her.
I am. I'm here. I'm here okay. with Sandy.
Okay.
And Mr. Tielak is here as well.
Okay. And I see Sean is on. Perfect. And I see Kathy is on. Perfect.
I'm here. I'm a little hoarse, but I'm here.
All right. So just so everybody knows, before we get into the board side of all of this, everything that we're doing, it's a streamed conference call, if you will. Please, before you speak, when we get to the board, town board section, if you can just state your name before you speak, it has to be transcribed. I've told Sandy that she doesn't have to worry about that because the meeting software will accomplish that for us. But as a secondary backup, I'm also audio recording this on my own personal recorder, so we'll have a digital copy of that should, for some reason, any kind of transcribing need to be done. I guess I'll go over the agenda for the regular board meeting. Right now, for the fiction adoption minutes, anybody have any questions or comments on item number one under new business? Are we good there?
Can I offer information about recording? You, as organizers, should be able to record the entire session.
We are, Jay. Yeah, we'll have, it's audio recorded, and then the GoToMeeting program that we have will transcribe it as well, because we need to have transcribed minutes. Is that what you were referring to, Jay?
Yes. Thank you.
No problem. Thanks for that information. Appreciate it. Okay. Consideration of all fund bills. Did everybody get a chance to take a look at all the bills? If there's any questions regarding fund bills, just so you know, I did reach out to the Association of Towns. The Association of Towns confirmed that because we're doing this, again, because of the governor's order that allows us to have a conference call town board meeting, the way and format in which the town of Boston provides them, essentially you're seeing the bills while you're not seeing the physical paper copies. Now that there's good detail in them and there's notes, you essentially have the ability to audit the bills. So I don't know if anybody has any questions on them, but if they do, feel free to chime in and we'll go from there. Okay, with no comments,
Okay, Kelly Martin, I'm just wondering if you're going through the agenda now, are we going to be yelling out who's doing what at this point?
Yep, we can do that. Does somebody want to take the fund bills?
I can take the fund bills, Jason.
I'll take correction adoption of minutes.
Okay, so Kelly is taking the minutes, Mike is taking bills. Again, this is Jason. So under correspondence, we just have two pieces of correspondence for our board. The first item is notification from planning board of the cancellation of the March 10th, 2020 meeting. And also number two, February 2020 income statement. We will receive and file both pieces of correspondence. Moving on to new business. Number one, request from the floor. Due to the conference call, I did not have the opportunity to get out the a message. I was thinking about this afterwards to ask for public comment. So my suggestion is, if anybody has any objections or ideas, let me know. But going forward, as of the virus, I will suggest if anybody has any that they can submit it to us and have their name attached to it. This will be sent in via email, probably, or email, and we will answer them under the public comment forum. That's a good way to keep open and try to keep that public participation going. Does anybody have any thoughts or comments on that?
No, I have no problem with that.
Okay, this is Jason again. So, again, no comment from the floor this evening. So we'll move on to number two under new business, which is approval for Taylor Echtel to begin duty as a Passion Fire Company firefighter. I don't have any concerns there. They're just so everybody's aware, this actually should have gone on the last board meeting. It was kind of missed just because of the new process that we have going on with the new contracts. But we've spoken to Brandon and apologized and that'll be taken care of. Mike, I'm presuming you probably want to take number two.
Yeah, that's, I'll take that for sure. Are you there?
Yep, I'm still here.
All right, it's Mike. Yeah, I'll take that one.
Okay, so this is Jason again. So item number three under new business is use of facility for Boy Scout Troop 491 for the Flag Day ceremony. The only caveat that I'm going to place on, so any use of facilities going forward, and this is something where we all need to work together based on literally the day-by-day, sometimes hour-by-hour changes coming from either federal government, state government, or county government, we have to limit congregations of people, respect social distancing, which is effectively, in most cases, we should not have any congregations of people. I mean, we've even gotten to the point where we've canceled the stocking of fish in the creek, again, just because of the potential risk of exposure. So I guess what I am, you know, what I'll say is for these use facilities, I'm okay moving forward on them, but for the groups like this month, we're going to have, as a board, we're going to have to essentially obviously deny those at a point, and then we're already going to get to the point where we have to, Sandy's office will be contacting them and letting them know that these events are canceled, which is really probably going to come to no surprise. Again, if anybody was paying attention to the news today, the governor has essentially declared that essential services across the state, they're not essential services across the state, to reduce their staffing levels. So grocery stores, et cetera, they're excluded. Shipping and delivery, they're excluded. They have to keep them going. But I mean, when we're looking at our restaurants, in some cases our auto mechanic shops, et cetera, these are all directives coming from the state. So there'll actually be another order coming out by me that I have to update with all these new directives coming down from the state. So any use facilities, I would say we approve them with the condition, when we get to the board meeting section, we approve them with the condition, the understanding that we'll be following federal, state, and guidelines.
Okay, I'd like to take the Boy Scout Troop 491 use of facility, but I have a question. Jay wrote down under fees, resolution 2018-50. I'm not sure why he wrote that.
Okay, this is Jason.
That's where he created that to be a town event.
Oh, okay, I was pretty sure that's what it was. I just wanted to make sure. All right, so I'll take that one.
Okay. Just remember, because this all has to be transcribed, if you can just think about like a walkie-talkie, like where you would press the button on a walkie-talkie, just state your name, give a brief pause, and then go ahead and speak. different format than what we're used to. I know. We'll get through this. It's new to everybody.
This is Jennifer. I'll take number four.
Okay. This is Jason. Again, this is Jason, use of facility number five. We have Jessica from the Boston Youth Soccer League. She has her use of facility Some of those dates, again, are probably going to fall into social gathering situations. Again, we're going to have to literally take this day by day, week by week as we go. But anybody want to take, Jen, do you want to take that?
Yeah, I was going to say I'll take 4 through 6. Right? That would make sense. Oh, this is Jennifer.
Yep, this is Jason. Yep, that's fine, Jen.
Thank you.
Okay, this is Jason again. So item number 7 under new business, we have a letter from the Zoning Board of Appeals regarding the resignation of Tracy Hirsch and for the appointment of Paul Mendel, I believe it's pronounced, as a regular member.
Yep, this is Kelly. I'll take that one.
All right, moving on to item number 8, this is Jason. Resolution 2020-27, authorizing the change order from the Boiler Room Asbestos Abatement Agreement. This goes back to where the original asbestos abatement was performed for the new boiler installation, and then due to the water leak that, if you recall that unfortunate scenario, we had to do some additional repairs to piping, so there's additional asbestos remediation. So essentially just authorizes the expenditure of that, those additional monies, which is covered under the grant once those grant funds are finally approved by the state and sent to us. This is Jason. Anybody want to take number 8?
I can take it, but it'll be short and sweet. Okay. I'm just like having a hard time here. No problem. Number 8. Dude, this is Kathy.
Okay. Resolution 9, or neither, Jason, this is Jason. See, even I'm having my own struggles here. Resolution 2020-28, authorizing funds for a second phase of town hall IT wiring. This authorizes essentially that phase two. With everything going on with the current state that we're in, we do have a handful of employees. If any of you haven't heard yet, you're probably going to hear sooner than later at some point that we have a handful of employees who choose to work from home. Obviously, the governor has a directive out that and this even applies to governments, so that we are supposed to be isolating and following the 50% rule. So what that means is, you know, let's say for an example, you know, even in my office, if I'm there, then Allison shouldn't be there. If Allison's there, I really shouldn't be. And the theory is that if, heaven forbid, one of us becomes ill, that the other one would also have the virus, and then you lose that. And then if you roll that up to the larger scale, I've had these discussions with our emergency manager, Gene Witkowski, and obviously Erie County Emergency Services and others. But the fire departments are following this protocol, state troopers, the Erie County sheriffs, it's all of us. Highway, I mean, you name the department, that's what it is. So it's not a totality of your staffing, it's the staffing within the departments, because government cannot stop. So that is why there's a 50% reduction. So the theory is that if somebody does become sick, anyone that's on that shift then falls under the category of being required to take that 14-day self-quarantine, and then the other, you know, and then there would be a period where you would have to come in clean, you know, wipe down hard surfaces, etc., clean, disinfect, and then, you know, if necessary, depending on the environment, and then that next shift would then step in. I have a feeling this is going to change based off some information that I had, but again, this is what's coming directly out of the governor's office based off of his order. So anyway, the IT wiring will then provide the ability for people to work from home. Nick does have at the speed. I just got off the phone with him today. He's going to have the numbers for us. It's $75 per license, and that will allow people to work from home. So those who can work from home will be allowed to work from home, and that will keep them out of the office environment and hold them safe. And then I haven't even had a chance to draft this up yet, but, you know, again, this is all new. So policies and procedures where if, Jason Keating decides to call the town assessor's office, because right now we don't have our new phone system, but we could theoretically unplug the new phone system when it comes in. You can unplug the phone, take that phone physically to your house, plug it into an Ethernet connection, and even though you're calling a town hall phone number,
ring there. So you can put an app on your phone. Since we're going to take capability, I'll probably put in some kind of protocol where that the voicemails are kept, let's say, 2 hours or something along those, to make sure that we have timely responses to our to the residents of Boston. So a lot of information coming out. I apologize, but this has been my life for the past 7 days. That explains some of this going on. And if anybody has any questions, please feel free to ask.
Okay. This is Kelly. I can take 20, 20, 28.
Okay, this is Jason again. Thanks, Kelly. All right, moving on to item number 10, resolution 2020-29. This is the 219 transfers. Anybody like to take that one? Or I could even take that one if anybody would like. I'll take it. This is Jason. Moving on, this is Jason again. Item number 11, dog control officer. Dog control officer in the town of Hanford. What this resolution is, if you had a chance to read it, it's the old shared service agreement that actually the town had a few years back. It's pretty much verbatim for the most part. I've spoken with the supervisor of town of Hanford, Jim Shaw, and he is willing to help us. The reason why we're asking for this is because Gordon had a severe health issue come sit on this because of obviously privacy reasons and legal reasons, but hopefully he will be on a full recovery relatively soon. But even the dog control officer, I do not have a clear answer, but the underlying understanding, I guess I'll say, is that dog control is not deep in the service. I don't know if I personally agree with that, but again, I have to follow what the county and the state is putting, but at least if it's deemed as an essential service, Gordon cannot, return to a period of time. At least we'll have a dog control officer. If the dog control officer is deemed as a, I'm getting mixed up here. If the dog control officer is deemed as an essential service for the town of Boston, then we'll have a process in place to ensure integrity and continuity of government. If the dog control officer is deemed as a non-essential service, we'll have this in our back pocket whenever life goes back to normal for all of us.
I'll take the dog control. Jason.
Thanks, Mike.
Can you hear me okay?
This is Sandy. Actually, this was not put in as a resolution per se. It just requires Town of Hamburg and Town of Boston signature.
Oh, so we don't need to pass a resolution for that then?
This is Sean. A resolution was prepared for that. I guess it didn't make its way to Sandy. But you can just vote to approve the agreement. You do need a formal vote in order to enter into an intermunicipal agreement like that.
Okay, I'll take that one.
Sean, I do apologize. I do have that agreement. It just with the layout of it, it just didn't appear that it needed to be something that needed board approval.
Okay, so Mike will take number 11, and that the motion that will be made at the town board meeting will be to approve the intermunicipal agreement. So. Again, this is Jason. So, Jason, item number 12 under new business, a request from the town clerk, Quinlan, to attend the 2020 annual town clerk conference. I'll gladly take that motion. Sandy, I hope you can go, and I hope the world is at a much better state of affairs at that point in time.
This is Sandy. Thanks, Jason. Obviously, I will, keep you posted on that. I will contact the president of the association to see if they will be moving forward with that. I will not put, I will make my arrangements, but not pay for anything until I know that this is
the plan is for it to go through. Thank you.
Okay, the only other thing that we have tonight that is going to come, sorry, see, I still not used to the routine. This is Jason, and one item that came up as a preliminary matter, again, due to remote access, people working from home, possible quarantine or whatever might happen at the state or county government level, or even federal level for that matter, is so the current time clock system that the town has used for quite a few years has finally moved into the digital era. We were aware, Ellie and I were aware of this, tail end of last year, going into this year, something that we had discussed now with, again, work from home access, not wanting to touch a hand scanner. Hand scanners are essentially obsolete. There will be a, I believe off the top of my head, it's like a $400 maintenance fee. I did ask Ellie to jump. You're on your computer. Ellie, don't mind chiming in. I'll let you explain you know, a little bit more behind the system. You can take it from there.
Hi, this is Ellie. So the time clock was, we were informed at the, about August last year, and I apologize for my kid in the background. The time clock was informed that it would be coming where it had to be pushed to the cloud by the end of this year. So we were given an option that would essentially be more hardware to push it to the cloud. And that came in, and I don't know if you saw your email, it came in at like $1,500 to be installed. Well, we were told that EDC bought Computer Search, and there is now more options for time clocks. So the one that they pitched to us last week would be allowing us to go completely mobile, where it would be either a desktop login, or you could even get an app on your phone and log in from your app. And you could punch in and out, and they gave us a demo of how it worked. And when the person logs into this, it would just have two options, punch in, punch out. And then there's also the option, you can go to another tab, and it will show you all of your accruals for sick time, vacation, personal. And then you can actually request sick time, vacation, personal right through the portal so that employees could see what they have requested off, because there's been some debate between employees on if they have time, if they told us what it was when they really wanted to be something else. Like they say, oh, I thought I was using sick time. Why was it put in as personal? So now they would see that what they requested is put in, and they can see their balances as of the day. So if it's September 30th, they can see that my balance at September 30th is I have this much left. So that would be a portal they'd have, and it would be right on the desktop that they log in from or their smartphone. We did consider Highway, and they have a laptop down there that they would be able to put it on there, so if they didn't want to use their mobile phone. And then everyone else has a desktop. And we could actually put a geofence so that people can only log in while on the town's Wi-Fi. We probably wouldn't institute that right away because of if people are working from home, but that is an option we can add on for future security. And Jason, I don't remember if there's anything else that you wanted to touch base on, but I think that pretty much sums up what I have on that.
Okay, this is Jason again. Yeah, so the cost right now, so if we stayed with our current system, there's the current maintenance cost. Yeah, again, it doesn't really make sense, in my opinion, to stay with an old system that is outdated. We can go cloud-based. So if people can log in from a computer, like Ollie was saying, they can log in from a tablet, they can log in from a laptop or a designated computer. So now we don't have employees touching a surface where we may or may not have, in the current environment that we're in, some kind of a viral transmission. It takes us into 21st century, streamlines processes, you know, work smarter, not harder. And I also have spent quite a bit of time speaking with the union, highway union today. And Paul Mary of the union is fully supportive. So as the collective bargaining agreement, some of the language that's in there, we do have the support from the highway union as well. Does anybody have any questions?
Hey, this is Ellie again. I just wanted to bring up also the cost if we go with this new system. It would be $1.50 per person per pay period. We have 20 employees on the time clock right now, so that figures out to about $780 a year, give or take, if we add or drop employees off that. Then we would have a $100 installation fee, but we'd be getting rid of that $400 a year service fee on our current system. So that's the cost part.
It sounds like there's a tax savings. This is Mike. Sounds like there's a tax savings for that system.
On an annual operating cost, yes, it does come out. Sorry, this is Jason. Yes, on an annual cost basis, yes, it is cheaper, and it is even cheaper than the old system that, you know, through Paychex that we were looking into. Paychex has been trying to be pretty aggressive. One of the changes that happened in the background is that EBC, Employee Benefits Consulting, acquired Computer Search Payroll. So now they are one entity. Makes them a nice human resources / time card package there. So now you have essentially two large organizations getting into price wars. So we'll keep an eye on it. And, you know, again, we'll always make those decisions that fit the best, you know, the town of Boston the best. Because the way that like Ali was stating, that with time and attendance and how much sick time did I have, there is always a human component to that. Where now, when in a town employee, you know, at least presumably going into looking to the future, now we'll have a means of the employee being able to see live how much sick time, vacation time, et cetera, that they have, and it takes, you know, any guesswork right out of the equation. So.
This is Kathy. I think it sounds great. I love the idea. Thanks for the work on it, guys.
This is Kelly. I just have a couple of comments and a question. The system does sound wonderful. It sounds very easy to archive all the info as far as payroll goes and everything, very easy to access files and such. But with the existing system, are all of those files archived from the past? You know, from going forward, we'll have all this obviously in the cloud, but previous to this, do we still, getting rid of this existing time clock, will we still be able to get the files from the old system?
Hi, this is Ellie. I will, before we do anything of getting rid of the old system, I will have Computer Search come out and run a backup. They did one a couple months ago for us. So that's, I'll make sure that they come out and run a backup so that we have all that. We also do have pretty much all that information in paper copy because the time cards get printed every week, and signed. But if there's a further concern, we can definitely look into that.
This is Kelly. Thank you so much, Ellie.
This is Jason. So yes, one of the other components in the wonderful world of time and attendance is that we're actually required by law to keep those files, whether it's paper or otherwise. So yes, we would definitely have that, and I will work with his name is, I think it's either Josh or Joel, but anyway, I will work, Ellie and I will both work with him to try to get something, you know, if you will, in writing, so we have that in black and white for all of us. Not a problem at all. Okay, this is Jason again. We've basically gone through the regular meeting. I just wanted to take a couple of minutes. Obviously, I've been, you know, trying to get as much information out to everyone regarding our current state of affairs, regarding the coronavirus. Information literally changes depending on the day. It could change by the day, by the hour. It's incredibly fast. At this stage of the game, all I can say is a lot of the directives that are coming down are not for me. I think the governor did a fantastic job during his press release. He did a Twitter comment and others, and he said, you know, he goes, please, public, don't be mad at county or local elected officials. You know, he said, be mad at me. A lot of this is coming out of his declarations. That's where I've been trying to keep that information flowing out to all of you as board members. Because truthfully, if I tried to keep, you know, if I tried to pick up the phone or otherwise, short of the emails, I just truly wouldn't even, I would be in gridlock. Gene Wickowski has been fantastic as the emergency manager. He's really kind of, you know, talk about stepping up in an environment where none of us have ever been through a worldwide pandemic ever before. So that's what we're all, you know, that's what we're all facing. And it's literally a think different environment that we're trying to get through. And I don't know if anybody, I guess if anybody has any questions, feel free to ask them. We got a little bit of time before the town board meeting. If there's no questions, you know, we can kind of go do a round table and then start into our board meeting.
Hi, Jason, it's Ellie. Also, one more thing I wanted to add. We did ask for an extension on the AUD until next month. So we have until May 1st to get it submitted. Just figured we better ask for it and better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it. So we did get that approved. And I am working on the AUD as well. So there is that.
This is Jason. Yep. Thanks, Ellie. Okay, this is Jason again. So I guess we'll do the roundtable, see if anybody has anything. Sandy, do you have anything that you want to discuss tonight?
Hey, this is Sandy. Thanks, Jason. The town clerk's monthly report was submitted to the supervisor's office. I also received from the code enforcement office for the January and February report, along with the notification from the code enforcement officer that the annual report of code enforcement activities for the town of Boston has been filed with New York State. I was very thankful that we were able to get through the majority of the tax collection before all of this had, with the closing of the town hall, had taken place yesterday. So I wasn't sure what Lois and I were going to walk into here on Monday, if there were, you know, plans made over the weekend of if the town hall was going to close. So collection went well. We were able to stay open on Monday until 6. So the majority of that has been, of the collection has been taken care of. Of course, we will continue to collect in the office until June 30th. We're in the penalty phase as of right now, and I would just encourage the public to use to mail payments and use the Dropbox for their payments, and always to give us a call here regarding anything that we might take care of in this office with all the fees that we collect. I know that we just have a lot to work through right now, but we will be here, and I will always take phone calls and do what I can to help everyone without actually having them come into the building. So that is all I have. Thank you.
Okay, this is Jason again. Yeah, Sandy, thank you very much for everything that you and Lois are doing. I mean, I told both of you that for the past, you know, every day for the past few days. Again, this changes every day. You know, it's one of those scenarios where if you're at the town hall and you see calls and everything else to come in, it is. It's literally changing. The only thing I can really continue to stress is, you know, that social distancing, which is why the declaration of the emergency and the emergency order that was, you know, I signed off on, the town hall, I think everybody's aware, there's no surprise, it's out there, but you know, there's no public traffic, if you will, into the town hall. It's kind of an appointment based only. Sandy and Lowell's been doing a great job of that, but again, it's only essential services. And, you know, for the town, you know, I'm not going to get into all the specifics, but just very high level. For an example, a dog license is not an essential service right now. It's not something that is life or death or essential. You know, if it's a death certificate, Sandy can certainly speak to that, but I don't want to take a lot of time on it. It's just these are the directives coming down from the federal government, state government, county government, that we are to provide essential services. That's the environment that we're in. That's where we're at. And I really do thank Sandy and Lois for, in some cases, tolerating me and putting up with me where I'm coming up almost sometimes a couple of times a day saying, well, we're doing this now, or what, we're doing that now. I'm just a messenger. So, thank you both for everything you're doing. I appreciate it.
This is Sandy. Thanks, Jason. I know this has been a burden on everyone that has had to have the input in this, and I know that the task that you have had to do has taken many hours, and so we're appreciative. Thank you.
Okay, this is Jason again. Bob, do you have anything?
Yeah, this is Bob. I just want to let you know that brush pickup starts April 1st. We're going to have two trucks going around, one man in the truck, because we only have one man in the truck, so it will cost more money this year for the brush pickup for the general fund cost because of the two trucks. We still have a lot of leaves down there from last year. I was going to ask the town board if I could take the leaves, if you want me to or not. We'll have to get rid of them somewhere else, but the only other place is probably in Orchard Park. We still got wood chips down there, but anybody that wants wood chips, we got wood chips. We got fill available. Our broom tractor, the one that we're going to be trading in, had some major transmission problems. Forward and reverse synchro gear went out, and it's over in Eden getting fixed, but it's going to be very costly, but it's no good if you can't drive it. So other than that, leaves in the spring must be bagged, and waste management can pick them up. Other than that, Bill Fornes is still not back to work since last December, and I don't know when he'll be coming back, hopefully within the next month. And pretty much I think that's all I have tonight. Got any questions?
Nope. Thanks for that. I can say for the brush, that's at this stage of the game, that's not an essential service. I can tell you that most towns are, to my knowledge, and I had a conference call with the supervisors and mayors actually at 8:30 this evening, and the county executive. I mean, technically speaking, again, we're on essential service, which is why I sent the email regarding the staffing. These are essential services. Staffing needs to be at 50%. So I would say right now, and I've already answered two residents' questions regarding brush. Yes, it doesn't start, but again, this is all, we're supposed to be doing social distancing, and brush is not a life and death situation, as unfortunate as that is, and we are currently in a state of emergency. So I would say, I'd be happy to even put out the message stating that we're suspending brush and leaf pickup, because it isn't that part. Again, if somebody has brush and leaf, if they have leaves in their yard, nobody's going to die because they have brush or leaf. And that's my opinion. Any board members, please chime in, but that's my thoughts on it.
Well, as far as the leaves in the spring, we do not suck the leaves up. They have to bag them in the springtime, so you can let the people know that. We've never picked up leaves in the spring. We don't have the manpower. The men are chipping brush and cleaning ditches and cleaning up shoulders, and we got way more work than we can do without picking up leaves in the spring. That service has always been just in the fall.
That's fair enough. Again, brush and leaf, I would almost encourage residents to utilize the solid waste collection. It's in our contract. Yes, it's a little more stringent protocol. Brush has to be bundled 4 foot lengths or less. Can't weigh more than 40 pounds. Same thing with the leaves. So to your point, that's a way for the residents to get rid of the leaves. And that is in the contract for solid waste collection. And they could actually put it out once a week. And yes, it might be a little on the tedious side, but since it looks like we're all going to be in around our homes for a long period of time, we could, again, it's all work together. Again, that's my thoughts on the brush move. It's not an essential service at the stage of the game. And even more so for the safety of the guys down in the highway barn. Again, I spoke to Steve Palmieri today. We're on the phone for probably 3 hours total time throughout the day. But again, any operations that are not safely done with following state DOT or other regulations out there, those operations should be their small highway department. So if the operation requires three people, let's say four, and you split the shifts of three people each, that operation doesn't get done. We don't have the staffing to do it, and it, unfortunately, it is what it is. Again, we're in a federal, or we're in a state, a county, and also a local. So again, the only essential things should be happening. We can always assess staffing on a case-by-case basis. Again, this is all for every one of us on this call and all across our country and across the globe. This is a pandemic. This is new for all of us. We'll get through it. We just need to work together. So that's my stance on essential services and staffing from the essential personnel from Iowa.
All right, so then I'm taking it you're going to let the public, you'll put it online, that it's going to be, they have to wrap it up and put it out for the garbage man once a week. You're going to let people know that?
If the calls come in, I mean, technically, again, I wish I had a straight answer. Yes, I will put that out. I mean, brush and leaf collections have not technically started yet. So, you know, when that time comes, this everything we're discussing right now truthfully could change in 2 weeks. I hope it does, because that means we're on the downside of this virus outbreak and people are getting better versus worse. So more and more people are being confirmed as tests come out. This is a medical emergency, and hence these declarations of state of emergency at the federal, state, county, and local levels.
All right, well, that's all I have tonight. Thank you.
You're welcome. And again, this is Jason. Yes, I will be happy to put that information on.
He's gone.
All right, Jason again, I will do the round table. Kelly, do you have anything at all tonight that you have questions on or want to discuss?
Nothing that I want to discuss, but I want to give a big shout out to the squad who is really probably taking the being on the front lines with everything that we're going through. I feel for them. I'm scared in my own position, not having available masks and soon to be running out of gloves and taking care of the incoming dead. It's not going to be a very pleasant situation for me. So I feel for the squad and their lack of supplies. But hopefully we can get them fully stocked and protect our first responders out in the field. That's all I have tonight.
Yeah, this is Jason. Yeah, Kelly, I share your sentiments there. With the funerals, I mean, obviously there's some state involvement there. The only thing I could possibly suggest, just from the information that I know at this time, I would suggest, and maybe it's already been done. I'm just tossing it out there as an idea for you and, you know, the rest of your crew. I would reach out to your wherever your facility is located. I'd reach out to the supervisor or mayor of the facility or the area and see if they can enter a ticket into DLAN stating, and DLAN is disaster land. See if they can put a ticket in there for those supplies for you. Again, this everything is constrained. I mean, we're feeling it on obviously our own personal levels with our families and trying to go to the grocery store and get simple day-to-day things and simple disinfectants that kill the virus to, again, the masks, the gloves. We're in an interesting scenario, but if you haven't already done that, I would say try to reach out, because you do have some state control, over what you do, and, hopefully the state can at least see that once that's entered into that DLAN system, and hopefully you guys can get some support. So good luck. Thank you for what you're doing.
This is Kelly. I never even thought about doing that for our localities. That's a great suggestion. Thank you for that.
Okay, this is Jason again. Jen, do you have anything at all you want to discuss or have questions for tonight?
This is Sandy. Jason, hold on a second. Jen just stepped out for a moment.
No problem. Well, to keep things rolling, since we've got the board meeting, I'm going to skip Jen for right now temporarily. And hey, do you have anything?
Hey, Jay, it's Jen. I got nothing.
This is Jason. Mike, do you have anything at all you want to discuss or have questions on?
I don't have any questions. I don't know if it seems sort of, I don't know, maybe not as important. I mean, do you think it's important to report to some of the activities? I mean, that, you know, I've been involved with in the last 2 weeks, unrelated to this virus. I mean, I don't know.
This is Jason. Yeah, feel free to report on, you know, some of the stuff you've been working on. Absolutely. Yeah, again, we're all dealing with an environment that none of us has ever thought about. You know, we've read history and we've thought about these things. So, you know, it shows that, you know, we're still there for the people, and that is a fact. You know, we're a fantastic town board and local government as a whole. That's all departments. Yeah, feel free to report on it. I mean, it shows that we're still out there for the government. There's still that, you know, I keep using that continuity of government. It's going to become the buzzword for all of us elected officials, but that, you know, the COOP planning, which is continuity of operations planning, these are discussions that are happening on a day-to-day, hour-to-hour basis of how to keep things going. So I think it just attests to the fact that, you know, whether it's, you know, the town board, town clerk, assessor, highway, you name the parks, you name the department, you know, we're still here. We're still here for the people. That's our jobs. And absolutely report on it. But, you know, kudos
all. This is Mike again. While you were buried in conference calls on Saturday, I presented Emma Mintier, who was founded a group called Mustangs Empowering Women. Was invited to speak at the Equine Collaborative International's, you know, spring gathering on Saturday, and it was a great honor to present her with a citation from Philip Palmisano and the New York State Assembly. There were still quite a few people in attendance, and, you know, people were certainly keeping their distances and you know, it was good to see a few people that were out, and then had the opportunity to meet yesterday with some residents on Park Drive, and I was covering for Kathy, who is not feeling 100%. So it was a pleasure to you know, stand in for her and you know, see the problem firsthand and go. There was a plan developed. Some of you may have seen that the Mark Gaston basically outlined what the, you know, what the process is. The residents all are getting together. They're going to appoint somebody to be the contact person, and they're going to move forward with their project. Mark was a tremendous help, and, you know, it was actually quite productive. And I was surprised how lengthy the meeting was, but it was good. So I would expect that project is going to move forward in the near future. And that'd be all I'd have tonight.
Hey, this is Jason again. All right. Kathy, I know you probably don't want to say too. I don't know how much you have to say, but Kathy, I'll certainly give you the opportunity as always.
Thank you very much. Again, I want to thank Mike for stepping in at that meeting that I scheduled about a month ago. I really didn't want to reschedule it, and I appreciate, Mike, you being there and taking all that information to the board, and hopefully we can get those residents up there some help that they need. Thanks again, and sorry about my voice.
All right. Well, we've done the roundtable. We're a few minutes early, but like I said, I don't want to cut things short. But since this is all transcribed, we'll move on to the town board meeting. So, Sandy, I guess, you know, we'll run it in the same format, and we'll go from there. We can go right through the pledge and everything else. So, Sandy, I'll let you take the lead.
This is Sandy. Okay, Jason, hold on just a moment. I am recording this also, so I am going to stop the recording and then hit record again for the actual board meeting. So hold on, please.